Okay, recording. We are recording live, everyone. Hello, my name is Sue Lee. Welcome to the Overthinkers Society episode. I don't know what episode it is. I don't know what episode it is. I'm not even that far out, but I don't know what episode number this is. Probably like 40 something. 41, 35, 38. 42, maybe something like that. I don't know. My brain has not been working very well. Well, actually, I haven't even tried to use my brain. This is like the first time that I'm actually like sitting down trying to make the most sense. Like try to form sentences that actually make sense. Because you guys are listening, and I don't want to be saying something like, oh my god, I want to see a cat right now. And then turn around and be like, oh my god, I'm hungry. I need dinner. I'm on a podcast, so I need to make some sense, at least. And it's been a while since I used my brain. I channeled my brain to make some sense. Right now, I'm holding my phone up if you're listening to the video version of this, which I believe you should. Subscribe to Overthinker Society, the YouTube channel. You get to see me talk. Yeah. If you're watching the video version, I'm holding my phone up in a very awkward position right now. Not only because I want to show off my cool pop socket, yes, gifted to me by an amazing Korean clothing brand called Ist Kunst, and I love this. It's my first time using a pop socket as well, so I don't think I can ever, there's no turning back from this. Like, I'm going to be using a pop socket for the rest of my life. I love pop sockets now. Don't know how I lived without it before. Anyways, I'm holding up this phone right now because I don't have a proper mic to record this episode on. Wait, let me just check if I'm actually recording, because it would be a pain in the butt if I'm not recording. Okay, I'm recording. I don't know how good this is going to sound compared to high-quality HQ condenser dynamic mic recorded episodes, but you know those Samsung phones, nowadays those youngsters make those cell phones pretty good. The cell phone recorders are pretty dang good. They sound pretty good, so hopefully it holds up. At least it's not hurting your ears, or it's not, you know, making you feel like you want to throw up or get nauseous listening to this recorded version on the phone. Hopefully it sounds okay to you guys. Probably gonna have to hold my phone up like this for the rest of the episode. I don't mind, because I got a pop socket. A pop socket helps your fingers not get too tired, which, oh my god, blows my mind away. What the hell? What is that called? Like the syndrome, the tunnel syndrome or something? We call it the tunnel syndrome, where it's like a new age, modern illness that a lot of people experience, especially like people in their 20s, early 20s, 30s, because like they've got this like weird joint problems on their wrists, because everybody's just holding up their phones all the time, so it's like putting a strain on their joints. But pop sockets help relieve it, at least maybe to a certain degree. I don't know how much of a help it actually does physiologically, but anyway, I'm gonna have to hold this up anyway regardless, because I need to be recording this audio. Okay, well, as you can see, I'm not in my normal, usual setting in my room in Korea. I'm currently in Los Angeles in Mama Colin's house. Mama Colin, thank you for graciously letting me use your office space as my bedroom. You're the best. Yeah, I'm currently in Los Angeles, and my Mama Collins, aka Momager, aka Manager, aka Mom, Dad, Mom, Music Momager, Music Parent, his house. Yeah, and I have just finished my first ever tour supporting Chai, the epic Japanese band. The tour isn't completely over yet. I have just finished leg one, which is a term that I only recently learned myself, which is like there's leg one, leg two, and there's like a space of like a break in between the legs. I don't know why they're called legs. So can you technically have leg three and then leg four? And how many legs can you have? And I'm imagining this like octopus character to describe all the legs for a tour. Like, if you have four legs for your tour, then it's a horse. If you have six legs for your tour, then it's an ant. If it's eight, then it's an octopus. But anywho, mine supporting Chai, my tour supporting Chai has only two legs, which is what animal has two legs? Rabbits? Bunnies? Are the little like paw things considered legs? Monkeys? Anyway, I've just finished leg one, which was in the East Coast. Most of the cities that I went to were all new. I've never been to all these cities before. You know, places like Minneapolis, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Boston too. I have been to Boston before, but it had just been such a long time. So like all these places were just so new to me. I mean, like everything was new to me. This is my first tour. And I have just come back from finishing tour one. I mean, leg one, the first leg, the half of the rabbit leg. And I'm back in LA for the next couple of weeks just to kind of rest a little bit, work on some new music, work on content, recording more podcast episodes, and chilling a little bit. You know, recharging before the second leg starts in the West Coast. Excuse me if you are watching the video version. I'm gonna check if I got lipstick on my front teeth, which is something that I've strangely been obsessed over re lately. I don't know, I just find it really embarrassing when my front teeth is just covered in red. Looks like I just ate like a jar of candied cherries and like, oh, hello, my teeth is I'm trying to look charming, but my teeth is pink. Yeah, so I just wanted to, I mean, everything has just the last couple weeks have just been crazy, crazy, like in a good way, of course. Like just, I've just been like. Like I don't I can't talk, I can't speak, like just it's been so crazy where like I would just oh, I did my first ever rehearsal thing. Like, I don't know what the fuck rehearsals were. And then I did that thing, and then I just moved straight to Chicago for my first show. And like, oh, hotels, what the hell? I've never been to this many hotels in my entire life in this amount of time. I'm like, oh my gosh, I overpacked. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my god, I'm actually singing to actual people, like, on stage. Oh my god, like, just everything has been so crazy new that I think it's like I just needed to sit down and wanted to like record this episode today just to like try to make sense out of it and try to, you know, maybe talk about some of the, you know, valuable experiences and memorable moments and share it with you guys, those of you who are listening right now. Yeah, it's like it's all like coming back to me the last few weeks. Just crazy time. But one thing I can say for sure is, oh man, what fun it was. It was so fun. I would be lying if I said every single moment was magical and glamorous, and let me tell you, it was, everything was far from being glamorous. And I would be lying if I said, like, every show was great, and I felt good about every show. I had times when, I had days, I had shows when I would, like, I finished my set, and I'm like, I feel like actual crap right now, because I freaking messed it up. You know, it was a tough crowd, or it was like, damn, I'm not happy with my performances, I just made so many mistakes. I'm like, I wanna disappear from this world kind of thing. And there were times, there were shows when I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so alive. I am grateful for this whole thing. It's magical. But all in all, like, it has been such a blast. And I want to talk a little more about it today. But all in all, it has been something else. Nothing like I've ever experienced before in my entire life. My first tour. Okay, well, here we go. Part one. Once upon a time, there was a girl named Sully. Sorry, I just wanted to... And I guess I just just got into a little bit of an audiobook recording mode, you know? You know what I'm saying? Well, part one, I wanted to talk about, first and foremost, the Chai girls. The lovely, lovely ladies, lovely, lovely girls from Japan who has gracefully invited me to tour with them, given me my first chance to experience this whole magical thing with them. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little anxious prior to meeting the girls in person. Well, for obvious reasons, you know, like, my social anxiety being like, oh my god, what if they're just, like, just really mean, or what if they're not great people? Oh, what if, like, they don't give a frick about me, they don't give a damn about me, what if I'm just gonna be left alone, what if I'm like, oh, it's gonna be awkward, what if they're like, oh, what if? So, I was very anxious, like, because, you know, I just had no clue what these girls were like. Of course, I was grateful for the opportunity, but, you know, I had no idea how involved they were in, you know, making this decision to have me on their tour with them. You know, this is touring business, technically. So, you know, there are definitely times when decisions are made, not just out of personal preferences, but, you know, through just out of purely business-oriented decisions. So I didn't know how involved I was gonna get with the members of Chai. But I went in, and the first encounter that I had with the girls was in Chicago, where I had my first show, where Chai, of course, had their first show. And we happened to be staying at the same hotel. And so we had just arrived at the hotel the night before, the day before the show, and we're just about to take the elevator down to the lobby to get some food. And the door opens in a slow motion, and there it is, the Chai girls. And I knew them. I was like, I was the one who like just instantly recognized as the door like opened. It was like a slow motion, like cinematic moment where I was like, oh my God, it's you guys. These girls are hard to miss. They are kawaii as frick. Their outfits are so cute. I obviously have stalked them before prior to the tour. I just thought they were just so cool. And so I was like, oh my gosh, you're Chai. Oh my gosh, they are literally standing right in front of me in the elevator. And then like there was a very brief moment of silence where like everybody the Chai girls, me and my team, Truman, my momager, Truman and Caroline, we're like just all like standing still for like a split second before we realize, oh my gosh, it's us. It's us. And then like we start being like, oh my God, it's you. It's oh my gosh, it's Chai. It's Sue. It was like just completely uncalled for, but in the most pleasant way. And yeah, oh my gosh. They're so nice, the girls. I mean, let me just get straight into this. Like, they are the sweetest girls ever. I'm not even joking. Like, it's not because they invited me for tour with them. It's not because they've given me all these like opportunity as an artist, but they are genuinely like just lovely, lovely people. Like lovely, lovely people as human beings. Apparently, they have been opening for other artists for a long time, so they know what it's like to be an opener for another artist. And sometimes, apparently, it's not the most glamorous and nice experience. You don't necessarily get to like hang out with the artists that you support. You don't necessarily get to, get the best space to like prepare yourself before shows and get to know people, get to talk to people, meet people. But with these girls, just and the girls and their team, they're all just so wholesome and so welcoming and just so nurturing that they just made me feel at home like right away. There is a, and I would almost say the language barrier, because so the Chai girls, and I have memorized their names now, Mana, Kana, two of which they're twins. And I'll be frank here, I still have trouble trying to tell which girl is Mana and which girl is Kana, because they look so much alike and they dress similarly as well, so it doesn't really help. I'll ask them the next time I meet. How can you tell me? Can you give me tips as to how I can possibly, distinguish between you guys, because I don't want to offend you. But it's Mana and Kana, the twins. Yuna, the drummer, and has the cutest, amazing smile ever. And Yuki, who is amazing, not, of course, not only in music, jamming, but also is a talented artist and a fashion designer. She has her own clothing line, which is crazy. Crazy cool. And these girls, they speak Japanese as their primary language, and they're still kind of in the process of learning English. It's a new language for them, so, you know, there's definitely a language barrier between all of us, where, you know, I am the most comfortable speaking English, and they're the most comfortable speaking Japanese. But I would almost say that the language barrier is actually what was, first of all, the icebreaker for all of us, because we were just, you know, we just naturally had this topic of teaching each other our languages and our cultures from the get-go. You know, it's just such a nice conversation starter. And, you know, I must say I had a little bit of knowledge in some of the Japanese words from my years of experience in watching anime. So I was, you know, I took pride in the fact that I was able to, you know, make out and understand some of the words, pick out some of the words in their conversations, and hold very basic level language conversations with them in Japanese, might I say. But it's just like the language barrier was almost like the most fun aspect of it. We just had such a blast, like, teaching each other some of the essentials, I would say. You know what diarrhea is called in Japanese, guys? It's geri. Geri. Isn't it such a, like, a lovely word for diarrhea? Geri. There's another one. I think fart is called oshiri, I think. I'm pretty sure it was oshiri. It's so soft. It's like so sweet. For fart. You know, like in Korean, it's pangu. Pangi. And in Japanese, it's like oshiri. Yep, so that was like, there's a video as well where Mama Truman, my momager Truman, shot a video of me and the Chai girls teaching each other how to say, like, diarrhea in English. And I'm, like, saying geri in, like, Japanese diarrhea over and over again. Everybody's just laughing and having a good time, when all we're saying is just diarrhea, 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 fart. Tanoshi. It was fun, man. It was fun. Very fun. And, you know, like, we all, like, speak English, too. Like, we all understand basic English. And I can speak, like, just a little bit of Japanese. So it's like, if I mix those two, we were able to, like, hold some really interesting conversations about other stuff outside of the language area. You know, we talked, you know, I talked to Yuki about her clothing business, which is just so cool. It's called YMYM, I believe. Apparently it's not, like, pronounced as any particular way, but, you know, maybe it's called, like, I can call it, like, Yum Yum or something, but it's YMYM, and her clothes are so cute. She's a freaking fashion CEO. How cool is that? And Mana and Kana, I'm sorry, Mana and Kana, but I know one of you guys have a yoga license, which is so sexy and so cool. Oh my god. You're so cool. You guys are so cool. Just so nice. And Yuki and I connected through our love for our love for just media, I guess. You know, Yuki was very keen on learning about learning and sharing the love about, you know, K-pop. And, you know, we connected through TVXQ, which is like my all-time favorite boy bands. And she was like, oh my gosh, I love TVXQ as well. Because TVXQ was massive in Japan, I remember. And we were like, we bonded over that. And we talked about K-dramas because Yuna loves to watch K-dramas. And I talked to her about how I'm a big fan of Arashi, which is a Japanese boy band. So it's like, you know, we all bonded and it was just a lot of fun. And their like language barrier only acted as something that wasn't really a barrier, but actually a facilitator of just making things more fun, actually. And the girls are just so nice. And I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed. I almost feel spoiled that this is my first tour experience. Like, is it supposed to be this fun? You know, like, is it, like, am I allowed to have this much fun? Because I am having a blast, you know? And I had, you know, we had moments when things were not so, like, happy-go-lucky. And, you know, that's the thing I really love about these girls, with Chai, how their kind of stage persona and their whole like artist persona is like being this really smiley, lovely girls who seem really cheery and energetic and happy and just really positive and just spreading love and good energy and good vibes. But they also like work their ass off for all this. Like, they really work their ass off and they really want to bring something to the world. Like, one night I remember in particular, I think it was a show probably either in Minneapolis or Milwaukee. And the girls have just finished their sets and they came back to the green room to like just wrap up and get settled and, you know, get ready to go home. And one of the twin girls, I think, I don't know if it was Mana or Kana, but she started crying. And I thought, I was like, oh my God, did something happen on stage? Like, did somebody like swear at her or did somebody like throw something at her? Like, oh my gosh, something must have happened. Like, oh no. And, you know, we gave them some moment for themselves, you know, for them to like process things and, you know, get it out. And then I later came back and asked if everything was okay. And turns out she was crying not because like something terrible had happened or some audience did something wrong or something really bad. But it was just it was purely because she herself just didn't think that she put up, she put on a good enough of a show for the audience. And she felt like she didn't entertain the audience as well as she thought she wanted to, and she just felt like she disappointed the audience, which was just like, no, you have no idea how, like, I was literally, like, backstage just, like, shaking my head, like, freaking, like, oh my God, I think my hair is about to fall off because I'm shaking my head so hard, but I don't care because you guys are jamming. They put up the best show ever. And this girl is like crying because she thinks she could have made the show more entertaining for the listeners, the audience. And it just made me just, and I started crying with them. I started crying because I was like, girl, you are so awesome and you are just, you don't deserve to cry. Don't cry because you did, you looked, you all looked so awesome. You sounded awesome. And you don't need to cry. There is no reason for you to cry because it was the best show ever. We just all like ended up, I just ended up crying because I was heartbroken for her. And we just all like ended up hugging each other in a little dumpling. They were wearing their little super cute pom-pom dresses, their performance pom-pom clothes. So like we just turned into this like massive ball of pinkness, pink fluff. And they were like, arigato, 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 which is like, no need to arigato me. Arigato you for bringing so much energy to all of us. And don't cry, because you're awesome. I've become a fan of Chai. Like, seriously, I've become a fan. They're the best. And I'm so happy that I'm able to have my first ever like live show experience with the sweetest girls in the world. Honestly, I feel so blessed. There were, you know, some other emotional moments too. Where it's like just there were moments when I was like, wow, I think this is what I was missing. Like this is it. Like this feels very good. This feels right kind of moment. You know, obviously there were days when, like I said, my voice would literally sound like fart, and I'm like, oh goddamn, my voice is sounding like fart, or like there would be like a technical malfunction, and I would freak out over it and just end up like not getting over the initial panic and just messing up the whole set, feeling like I messed up the whole set, as other people said, but it just felt like I messed up the whole thing. Lots of voice farts, voice cracks, lots of hey, ooh, oops, lots of fart and poop talks, lots of them, a lot, especially on the bad show days. My mind goes blank. My mind goes blank when I'm nervous, when something goes wrong, when I'm panicking. I can't think of anything else other than poop. And I hate that. That's all I can think about. Poop. And I just end up talking about like some just poop all the way through. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. It's just like, oh, poop. And the crowd's like, bitch, what are you doing? And I deserve it. I deserve it. But there were definitely some very, very, very heartwarming moments too. Actually, more so than the nervous poopy moments. They were all like mostly all of them were just really wholesome moments, but some of them just really stood out more than anything else, you know. There was one time when it was actually the first show in Chicago, actually, where there was a girl named Zoe who was 10 years old, I think. Something very young, a very young girl named Zoe who is like my biggest fan, like just a she's such a big fan of my music and me that she had persuaded her whole family to fly out to Chicago to see me perform live. And like it, I was so bummed afterwards because I wasn't allowed to actually have like a proper meet and greet with people due to COVID precautions. Like, just I wasn't allowed to. But then I belatedly got a message from Zoe's aunt, I believe, saying that, you know, sent me like sending me all these pictures that Zoe had taken with my little cardboard picture cut out of me and her with my merch and her in front of the venue, her like just being so happy just to be there to see me. And I was like, why? Thank you, Zoe. Thank you. And Zoe's family for like freaking flying out to Chicago. Flying. Like, what? You flew to see me? And I'm like, I don't know how to like give back the love. I don't know how to do this. Like, the best I could do was send Zoe a video message saying just thank you. Thank you. And it was just so sweet. I hope Zoe had a good time, and hopefully next time I go to Chicago, or hopefully even to a nearer city where Zoe lives, where she wouldn't have to like fly out all the way to another city to see me, I'd be able to actually, you know, say hi, and we'll be able to talk for a bit, and I'll be able to give her a big, big, big warm hug. And yeah, we'll be able to see each other face to face next time. That was just such a heartwarming event. And you know, people had also left notes behind saying, you know, it was so nice to see you live finally. You know, all these like the Sooniverse gang who had been there just waiting for me to play a live show one day and finally turning up when I got the chance, and they all like left a note for me. One of them left like a note on like a back of a cinnamon crunch toast, like a cutout of the cereal box, and wrote a short note. I don't know if I have it right now, actually. I do have it. I just don't put it like in a safe. I put it in my different suitcase because I didn't want it to get all wrinkled and stuff. There was also another note from a fan who left me a little like plushy pea, you know, like the pea, the vegetable pea. Not the urine pea, you know. That would be weird. Imagine if someone left me like a bottle of urine. Hey, I thought of you when I when I was peeing. Here you go. Yeah, but it was like a little plushy pee, and they left me a note on like a back of a receipt saying, like, thank you for healing us with your music, and your music makes us feel like we're all peas in a pod. So they gave me a little plushy pea in a pod with three peas in them. Peas that are smiling. And one of them is me, apparently. It was just I cried a little bit when I first read the note and got the pea. It was so nice. It was just so lovely. And, you know, of course, aside from these, you know, personal kind of notes and little events and little occurrences that stood out to me, there were also this element of just like being in the same room with audiences, with like actual people, and sharing my music with them. You know, most of them, not just some, like most of them just don't know who I am. They don't know my music. They don't know who the fuck Suli is. They don't know. But I could definitely feel that not in all shows, but well, actually, yeah, in all shows, I would say. 'Cause I would enjoy all the shows, and I felt like I did my best. But there were definitely shows where I just felt like, my music's in the air, and I am actually sharing my music with these people right in front of me, and I'm making eye contact with them. Like, we are literally looking at each other face to face, sharing the same environment. And it was the most spine-chilling, magical feeling ever. It was magical. And very heartwarming. Yeah, these, yeah, just like some of the expressions that I saw in the crowd, like sometimes it would be like, if you're listening and you know my songs, then you know that some of my songs are just, just chill and fun and just like good to dance to and like, hey, let's dance, let's shake a booty. But some of the songs I'm like, I'm almost on the verge of like crying when I'm performing because it really brings back all the emotions, the kind of roughness of the emotions and the state that I was in at the time of the writing, which is not so bright. And sometimes while I'm performing one of these songs, I would, just look into the crowd and meet somebody's eyes, and I could feel it. I could feel that they're feeling something with me. And, I've always thought, like, I see all these like videos on YouTube where, like, oh, all these epic artists, all these celebrity level artists, the epic artists, the cool people, the cool art, like Jack Harlow or whatever. They're all like on stage and everybody's like, hey, hey, hey. They're like literally like jumping up and down. Like they're just vibing. The crowd is lit. The whole crowd is like jumping up and down. And it's like they're having so much fun. And I've always thought like that is the prime example of a good performance. Like that is what defines success as a performing artist, to make the crowd vibe like physically. But it was also these moments when I was performing, some of the more quiet and more pensive and more, emotionally deeper songs that I could feel like a different level of connection with people. They weren't necessarily headbanging, they weren't necessarily jumping up and down and like literally vibing with their whole body from head to toe. They're just standing. Some of them are just standing, but I can feel it. I could feel it in their eyes, in their expressions, that they're listening, and we're sharing something right now. So, that was something too. That struck something in me really powerfully. I felt really like, I felt like a lot of the songs are about me feeling like really lonely and just like, fucking help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to socialize, but I want friends. don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my life. I feel like a loser. And for the first time, I felt like I wasn't alone. And it was like, you know, it's one thing to like, you know, read messages and like emails and comments from people saying like my music touched them. And that's very valuable, and it really just it means the world to me in its own sense, in its own way. But it was equally, if not more, magical to just be able to see it with my own two eyes and feel it. And like really truly feel the connection. So it's really really fun. And of course, like aside from like the more emotional part of the shows, there were also like the actual headbanging parts where, you know, I would just be like, okay, I don't give a fuck. I'm just gonna shake my booty. I'm just gonna do it. And I just had a blast. Even though my voice cracked a lot, because I can't multitask. And you gotta expect my voice to crack if I'm gonna be shaking my booty at the same time while singing. It is just gonna it that shit's gonna crack. It's gonna crack a lot. So, brace yourselves if those of you who may be coming to the West Coast shows, if I say it's booty time, it also means voice cracking time. My voice gonna be cracking loads. So brace yourself. Damn. Well, I'm back from tour. One. Leg one. Leg two starts in a few weeks, so I've got some chill time. I'm gonna be in LA writing music, doing shit, keeping myself busy, but also laying low because, you know, keeping myself safe from COVID. Until the next and final part of my first tour with Chai. That's it. Damn, if this, I hope this episode, like the audio quality for this episode turns out okay, because I do want to like really get back to doing these podcast episodes more regularly. Like, it's, I think the last episode that I did was like 3, 4 weeks ago, almost a month ago. Please, please, I hope this is good enough quality. Okay. Well, thank you for listening to Overthink Our Society. This has been Su Lee. And I'll see you guys, talk to you guys in the next episode. Goodbye. Goodbye.